Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk for Work. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us, hopefully, for what should be another great show. Today, I come on, though, with a heavy heart. I want to remind you first that the music you just heard, we do not have the rights to. We're going to also ask you to please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk What Works is on the air. And tonight, as I've said before, I come on with a heavy heart because I feel tonight's subject is so personal on one level, and on another level, I feel that if it's not reversed, something really bad is going to happen. My topic tonight is the media under attack in Tarrant County? I'll repeat that. Is the media under attack in Tarrant County? I say that because, and I'll start with my personal story. In 2011, I covered the Fort Worth police shooting that killed Sherelle Thomas. Sherelle Thomas was killed at the corner of 820 and Rosedale. Mr. Thomas was in his SUV with another male passenger in the front seat and his three small children in the back seat. That said, Mr. Thomas left his home with his friend and his three kids. And when he reached the corner of his street, they say he failed to signal. an undercover van followed him to the point of where he reached Rosedale and Cravens, and he pulled into the Zoom In gas station at that point and was told basically to identify himself, give him his insurance, and give him his driver's license and that type of thing. And then he was told that he had warrants. Well, Mr. Thomas was certain that he did not have warrants because he had an active lawyer at that time, and he was certain that he would have been notified had that been the case. Well, the problem was he had a warrant, but it was from Dow Worthington Gardens, where he had been driving through there. And if you're familiar with Dow Worthington Gardens, it's a little small stretch outside of Arlington near Pantego. And basically, if you blink, you miss it. Well, going through there, at some point, he had gotten a ticket for driving with a TV visible to the driver. So I'm not sure if he didn't think that was going to turn into a warrant because it was such a small, you know, offense, if you want to call it that, but it did. So that night when they asked Mr. Thomas to get out of the car because there was a warrant, he was certain that there wasn't. And Mr. Thomas at that time told the police that he had his three small kids in the car and that he did not want to leave them and be arrested. And could he take them around the corner back to the house? The police told him no. Mr. Thomas then said, well, let me call my mother to come and get the kids. Mr. Thomas again was told no as he was trying to dial the phone to get someone to come and get the kids. That said, Mr. Thomas, in my opinion, made a bad decision. He decided that he could probably drive the car to his house, get the kids, you know, there safely, and then allow them to arrest him. Well, that's where things went terribly wrong, and Mr. Thomas was shot and killed that night because he made that mistake of thinking, surely they won't shoot into a car with three kids in it, and unfortunately, he thought wrong, and they did. That said, after hearing about it on the news, I reached out to Mr. Thomas's family and asked for an interview on the show, and they did. They obliged me, and they came on with the mothers of the children, Mr. Thomas's mother, his sibling. They all came on the show, and that was before any action had been taken toward the officer. So they indicted the officer for the shooting, but they later came back in October. This happened in February 28, 2011. I'll never forget it. The family came on my show in March of 2011. In October of 2011, his sister called me, and she was so upset, and they had just left the courthouse. And they found that the officer, Mr. Romer, who's now in jail for a totally different reason, had been no-billed. They asked me at that time, would I do a second show? I agreed. At that time, that's when I was introduced to the passenger who was in the car. Well, the passenger came on the second show, which was in October of 2011, and told what happened. He came on and said that there were multiple shooters who shot into that car that night, and not just Officer Romer. Well, after that particular point, y'all, my life has changed forever. I found myself harassed by Fort Worth PD to no end. I mean, scared to the brink of, you know, just, I tear up just thinking about it. Scared to no end is just about the best way that I can put it. Anyway, I repeatedly, and I'm going to say repeatedly, have contacted then Mayor Betsy Price, City Manager David Cook, every police chief from Halstead to Fitzgerald, Kraus, and even Noakes about the harassment. Basically, it was completely blown off as though, and y'all, let me be transparent tonight about the way that they treat media or people who have a platform, people who have what they consider to be the personality of an influencer, someone who is listened to by others. If your conversation does not go along with their program, you will find yourself harassed. That said, the Fort Worth Police Department did something that I never could have imagined in my life. They created the most incredible false narrative you can ever imagine. They put in there that all of the harassment that I had been reporting was all because I almost chuckled, but it's not funny. They put it that it was because I had dementia and Alzheimer's. So anytime I called the police, they sent out the CIT department. The CIT department is for people who have MHMR problems. And that's not to make fun of anyone who has MHMR issues. But it's not fair to use that as a form of harassment. That said, recently, I myself finally got the courage, because I've been watching Thomas Torrenkazi and Manuel Mata go and make complaints with IED and the Office of Police Oversight Monitor, I finally got the courage that I could as well. So in learning so much in such a short period of time, I found out through discovery that the police reports that I have filed within the last 2 years have been fabricated. They've been fabricated to the point that the narrative, the facts, as I stated them to the officers, have been basically erased. The facts that the facts are not even existent on the police reports, and they're not even police reports. They downgraded them from police reports to information only, and they changed the narrative. So whatever I told them, whatever the facts were changed, and a new narrative was created. So Officer Michael A. Chavez, who's my NPO officer, and Kyle Wilcox, who's with the CID department, literally I have complaints right now in IAD because they literally took police reports that I filed, downgraded them to information only, and changed the facts and created a totally new narrative. Now, this is where it all sits at, y'all. We will see how IAD handles it, but so far, our city manager or our assistant city manager, Fernando Costa, pretty much told me, listen, we got other people who have said good things about this police officer, so therefore everything you said is dismissed. And they show that to me because Cindy Boland, who is the lady who the Fort Worth police officer killed her dog in her yard years ago when she went to Austin and complained and had the laws changed so that officers have to watch some videos of dogs being killed now. I'm sorry, not dogs being killed. Let me correct that. Let me erase that. Forget what I just said. They watch videos about how to handle dogs when they encounter them during their day-to-day work. Let's just say it like that. So this lady trolled me on social media, on Facebook, and told me how the fact that I complained about the officer at the last city council meeting, it made no sense, and that everything I said about him made no sense. Well, guess what, y'all? They promoted her this week. they gave Cindy Rowland, I guess for her taking up for the officer, whether they asked her to or not, remains to be seen. I'm sure that'll come out at some point. But they promoted her to the Animal Shelter Board this week. That's the level of harassment you see in Fort Worth. So my point is, when I finally get the courage to complain on a bad police officer, not only does the city back him and send trolls to troll you, then they promote the trolls for trolling you, and then the city manager tells you how irrelevant your complaint was because what they call some community leaders said good things about him. So I find myself now in a position where I've got to go before IED to, even though I've written everything out, I've got to go and talk to them about it. And you know what? Even though I feel like I'm a pretty articulate person for the most part, and I do understand and discern very well, I still find it very intimidating to go before them because you know it's full of trickery, the whole process. So I feel like my topic tonight is personal on one level because I've experienced it. I know where it goes when they consider you to be too outspoken. I know what it means for them to decide that you're a problem child. I know what that feels like. And I know because I've lived with it since October of 2011. And actually one case before then, but that was before I was totally aware that what I was witnessing was really going on. The very first case that I saw and really kind of questioned, like, is this really what I think it is? I was leaving my yard one day, and I pulled out of my driveway outside of my gate, and I went back to lock the gate. And I saw a car pull across my driveway, just kind of like you go horizontally across a vertical driveway. And I thought, well, as big as my street is and nobody else is, like, moving around, why would that car pull across my driveway, blocking my exit? So I lunge forward really quickly because I have a long driveway. I lunge forward as though to let the person know. And when I say lunged, I mean I moved the car pretty quickly and stopped, you know, away from the car to let them know I'm trying to exit. They didn't move until I got a little closer, and then they finally moved. And I'm thinking, nobody pulls up and uses the phone or do anything like this across somebody's driveway. Well, when they finally pulled forward, they pulled forward a little bit in front of my neighbor's house. At that time, I took down the driver's license number, documented the make and the model of the car. And then when they noticed that I was doing that, they pulled off. They made the first block, and they turned the first street. So then I got out of my car to see, who are you and why are you doing this? They had the windows rolled up. The windows were tinted, and they never would roll them down. So that was the first thing that I began to see after I did the first show, that that's just not something that typically happens. Well, as time would have it, more and more things began to happen. Well, as I began to document them with the police department, one thing I found out was, unless I had a name of an officer, a badge number, basically, they were totally dismissive. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what you're talking about. So finally, I decided to keep all of this to myself until I could prove it, until I could absolutely prove. And that took, listen, that took a lot of patience. Y'all, I won't even lie to you, because they're very clever at harassment. But when I saw that Officer Wilcox, Kyle Wilcox, and Officer Chavez, Michael A. Chavez, badge number 4053, was really changing narratives on police report and downgrading a police report from a report, a police report, to a information only. And when I saw that literally they were using drug dealers as their, who are their informants, as their witnesses on the report, I was thinking, is this serious? Are they serious? But I never thought to get the reports immediately, because I assumed if you make a police report, they report what you say, not in Tarrant County and not in Fort Worth. So, long story short, always get the police report immediately. Make certain it says what you told the officer it said. And if it doesn't, turn their behinds in. And when you turn their behinds in, I mean to IED, the Office of Police Oversight Monitor, the city manager, the mayor, I mean the city council person, everyone you can think of, their commander and their supervisor, make certain that everyone is aware that this person doing something that you know is not right, and you can prove it. So that's what I didn't do initially. I didn't know to get the report. But then when I did get the report, and I spoke with the lady from IAD very briefly before I decided to end the conversation and handle it in person, because first of all, she wanted to conduct the interview over the phone, which means, of course, I was being recorded. Second of all, I don't know who all was listening or coaching her. So I said I wanted to do it in person. And I think that's the better thing to do. But I was also told don't go back in their offices, because you cannot record if you go to the back area. So if you stay in the lobby area, you can record the entire interview. So that brings me to Manuel Mata. Manuel Mata recently went to a city council meeting. He was filming in the area where the media stands. He was thrown out of the meeting and accused of criminal trespassing. Well, I thought that was as bad as it could get. They didn't arrest him. They just said, you can't come back today. Well, that's what I heard the officer say. So today, Manuel Mata and Thomas Rolankazi went to the Tarrant Appraisal District because there was a hearing. There was a hearing for the chief appraiser because he had been accused of making some allegations against Chandler Krause that were not true. And through a lot of reporting by Thomas Rolankazi and Manuel Mata, that story got exposed. The mainstream media got involved. And as of yesterday, Chandler Krause was informed that all of those charges against him were being dismissed. So today, Manuel Mata, Thomas Rolankazi, showed up early to the TAB meeting. They were there filming, and they had just been instructed where the media was to stand for the hearing. Something went terribly wrong after that. Thomas Rolankazi, Manuel Mata, were asked to leave. Well, they began to question, well, why? You know, why are we being asked to leave? You know, there was back and forth exchange of words with the officers. And I think there was like, let me think, how many officers did I see? At least four or five. I want to say maybe five. I saw a black guy, two Hispanic guys, two white guys. I want to say about five officers escorted them out of the back of the building, not the front of the building where the people were. They escorted them out into the back area behind the building. And what I saw, it really troubled me. It troubled me because, and I'm not pulling the race card, but I'm just observant. I'm observant that you got two men, that one white and one Hispanic, but only one you throw to the ground. and that's the Hispanic one. And even though you saw him in a hand cast or wrist cast, the cast covered basically his whole hand and a portion of his arm, the lower part of his arm. So even though you see this man with a camera in one hand and you see him with a cast on the other hand, you throw him to the ground. And you accuse them of trespassing. I don't understand how you assault one and you don't assault the other. I don't get that part. And I'm not pulling the race card, but I'm observant and I'm just noticing how this went. And so Manuel told him that he needed to be taken to the hospital or he needs to be seen because he had just had surgery on the arm or the hand, and that he needed to check that out. So they take him to the hospital, and then they take him to Tarrant County Jail. And y'all going to read these charges. I mean, and it blows me away that, again, you got two men there, a white man and a Hispanic man, but you only arrest one, and not that I want Thomas to be arrested. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm seeing something very wrong with this, the way this went down. So it was either personal or retaliation or racist or something, but I don't see how you got two people there, but you focus on one. Thomas continues to film, but you got Mata on the ground, even though you see he has a cast on his hand and he's recently had surgery and he's telling you that you're hurting him and, you know, that he's in some form of distress. So when I look at Tarrant County charges against him, because he was arrested by Tarrant County Sheriff's Department, he is charged with four counts of interfering with the public duty, with public duty, assault to a public servant, criminal trespassing, and resisting arrest, search, or transport. So they gave him interfering with public duty time four. So I'm going to assume they're talking about the police officers. But not all the police officers were with him. They were, some of them were dealing with Thomas. So I just find that strange. Assault with a public servant. So I think the first person that pushed him or shoved him, there was some exchange there. So somebody just pushes you, you know, something's off there. And then criminal trespassing and then resisting arrest, search, or transport. Y'all, I'm saying all that to say harassment is real in Fort Worth and Tarrant County. It's real. And those of us who are bold enough, and I mean, when I say bold, bold with your legs trembling, bold enough to do what we do and bring you these stories, unedited, unfiltered, just as we get them, you don't know the price is paid. You will never know the price, the total price paid. It ain't for the weak. It ain't for the coward. And so, as Manuel Mata sits in the Tarrant County Jail with only one bond, and that's for assault on a public servant, and that's $3,500. And all the other charges, they don't even have a bond. So all the interfering with public duties, they haven't even assessed a bond. The resisting arrest, search, or transport, that doesn't even have a bond. So you completely disrupt a man's life for coming to a public building to film a public hearing, and then you slap them with these types of charges. Harassment is real. And there's an attack on media in this area, anyone who has a platform, anyone who has a voice, anyone who's considered an influencer, who does not go with the status quo, is under attack. And y'all, sometimes it's a really lonely job, because even though sometimes you put your neck out on the line every single week, the community doesn't even support you like they should. A lot of times you think to yourself, is it even worth it? Why do I do that? But I'll say this, once you get on the radar, there's no getting under the radar. They just kind of continue and continue and continue to kind of make you somewhat of a target. So tonight I ask you all to do what you can to help Manuata, because he has a family. He has obligations. He has a life. And what he did today does not warrant a sale in the Tarrant County Jail. And I'm going to post the video on my page, my Facebook page. And it's already posted on the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page, if you haven't seen it already. But I want you all to look at it really long and hard and say, does that warrant this? Did he do anything that warrants him facing these kind of charges in Tarrant County Jail? And if your answer is the same as mine, and that's no, get up and do something about it. Call the Tarrant County Jail. Ask for the sheriff. Call Judge Whitley over at Commissioner's Court or any of the commissioners over there. Make a call and say, this one doesn't add up. Free Manuata. Again, this man has obligations to life, just like the rest of us. And he was only filming in a public building. And I didn't see him get violent. I watched the video twice. There was actually two videos done, one by him and one by Tolan Kazi. I watched the videos that both did twice each. I didn't see him get violent with anybody. I saw him basically stating his rights, which were violated. But y'all, something's got to change with the way media is being treated in Tarrant County. I mean, literally, you are strongholds into which stories you tell for fear that if you say too much, you're going to get retaliated against. I talked to a very old, no, he's not that old, but an older man who's very wise and very respected in this community. And Mr. Willie Price told me, he said, listen, Carrie, you got to stop meddling in them people's business down there. That's why they mess with you. Mr. Price is from the old school. So he was saying, listen, you know, these people, you can't be reporting that. You can't be saying that. And I think to a point, he is right in the sense that they will mess with you. However, y'all, I got put on the radar in 2011, and I left my home for fear and stayed gone a really long time and moved to two different cities. And guess what? They harassed me in those two cities because Fort Worth PD made a phone call, and whatever they said, it caused the law enforcement in those areas to mess with me as well. So when you go on the radar, I don't know what it takes to get off, but I've been on there since 2011 and they ain't let up. So I know what Mata is going through to a degree. I've never been arrested, thank God. But everything they could do to disrupt my finances, they've done it. Everything they could do to disrupt my personal life, they've done it. Everything they could do to destroy whatever ounce of peace I had, they did it. So if I had not been a Christian, had I not been somebody that knows that trouble don't last always, if I had not been someone who knew that karma is a bitch, and that if I just realized that and stayed true to that and did not forget that, that eventually things will shift. And they will. But it doesn't feel good when you're in the storm. It doesn't. And so today, Manuel Mott is in a storm that he shouldn't be in. So if that calls for a protest at Tarrant County Jail or Tarrant Appraisal District, I suggest you lace up your boots. If it takes making his bond, y'all, we need to do it. If it takes making some phone calls to Judge Whitley and the commissioners, love their phone. If it takes making 200 calls in one day to the Tarrant County Jail, saying free Manuel Mata, do it. Because the only thing I think I've realized after helping Gregory Corley get out of the Denton County Jail recently, they pay attention when they realize people are paying attention. So when so many people make calls on the behalf of Gregory Corley, after so many people wrote letters and would not let up, they began to and call the judge and call the commissioners. They began to realize, oh, this is not what we want to deal with. This person is more trouble than it's worth. Let's do the same for Manuel Mata. Let's make phone calls until they get tired of hearing Manuel Mata's name. Because I think if it was you, you would hope someone was doing the same for you. And y'all, you know, rarely do I do shows like this where, I mean, a couple weeks ago I did a show where I didn't have a panel. But sometimes I think when I have a panel, I really never say what I'm thinking. But tonight, I'm telling you, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I know that will work. And this is what has got to happen. It's got to happen. Somebody has got to address this muzzle that's in this county, that's in this city, that says, you know, you can't say this or you can't do that, or, you know, I'm going to give you a hard time. That shouldn't be happening. This stuff is criminal. You shouldn't be afraid to speak your mind. You shouldn't be afraid to record in a public building. You shouldn't fear retaliation. I mean, to the ninth power for not even committing a crime. We're not saying anybody was murdered. No one was assaulted. No one was violated in any way. We're talking about just filming, just standing, getting ready to film a hearing in the Tarrant Appraisal District. What in the world? And so that particular entity has been under fire for a minute because of what they did to Chandler Crowell. And yesterday, they send him a letter and they vindicate him. And then today, you assault and arrest Manuel Mata? We're going backwards, y'all. We're living in this city which is considered one of the fastest growing cities in the country. Is this what we're welcoming people to? A city that puts a muzzle on your mouth and tells you if you say anything, we're going to harass you and we're going to make life hard for you? Is that what we need to be, like, dealing with? I don't think so. So tonight, I say to y'all, I've lived this. The harassment is real now for Manuel Mata. We know the Tatiana Jefferson trial is coming. Y'all, it's only going to get worse. Because if they're putting a muzzle on other things. What kind of muggle do you think will happen with the Tatiana Jefferson trial? They've already put a gag order on the case one to shut everybody up. So is this really something we're going to allow to continue to happen? Is it wise to not stand up and speak against what we clearly see is wrong? I don't know, y'all, but I say no. I say no. When you start assaulting and arresting people for standing in a public building filming in an area that the media was filming in, Mata was literally standing in the, they had a blue square that was taped off, and Mata was literally standing in the square where they told the media to convene. And then all of a sudden, in comes all of these sheriff's department officers who are saying, you're criminal trespassing and you got to get out of here. And when he was like, well, no, I'm not, you know, they literally start using force to move them out of the building without any recourse. And when he starts saying what his rights were, he was shoved, thrown to the ground, and arrested. So I don't know where this is going, but tonight I thought I would just come on and let you all know that, is this what we signed up for? Is this it? Is this where this is going? Do we really want to be okay with, you can say this, but you can't say that. You can do this, but you can't do that, even though you're not committing a crime? I mean, do we really want to put a muzzle on free speech? Do we really want to put a muzzle on the media? Do we really want everything to be filtered? Do we really want to do that? Because in my opinion, if you start down that road, it only gets worse, because it's about control. And it's basically saying that if I can get you to not do this, then I can get you to not do that. And then the next thing you know, all the things that you used to call right don't exist anymore. And that's where we get in real trouble. Real trouble. And tonight, when I think about Manuel Mata sitting in the Tarrant County Jail, you know, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of monkeypox, you know, there's all types of things going on in the jail in terms of staph infections and you name it. People are dying in there. I think 39, 40 people have died in there since 2019. Is that where he needs to be? And did he do anything to warrant being in the Tarrant County Jail tonight? And what I saw, y'all, and I watched those videos twice because I wanted to make sure, am I missing something? I didn't see a reason for this man to be facing this many charges, for this man to be really facing any charges. All they had to say was get out of the building. Manuel Mata didn't even have a defense to fight with his hand in a cast. He had a camera in one hand and a hand in the cast in the other. So he wasn't physically even able to fight. So why was he thrown to the ground? Why was he handcuffed with his hand in a cast? I don't know, y'all. It's just, the whole thing makes me nervous in the sense that when you start seeing things like this happen, it's kind of like they said to an old Jewish man once. They illegally arrested a young black man. And someone was saying to the Jewish man, look how they did him. Look how they did him. And the Jewish man said, I think that's terrible. I really think that's terrible, and that's a bad thing. And the person said, well, why? Because he was assuming, well, he lives on the other side of the track, so no big deal. But the Jewish man said, if it happens to them, and then it happens to the next group and the next group, eventually it'll make its way to my door. So what he was saying, in essence, is the same thing Dr. King said, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's the difference. That you can't ever assume just because it happened to them today, it won't happen to you tomorrow. That part. Everybody I know takes their camera out and films something. So do you want to get, like, shoved, thrown to the ground and arrested because the next time you take out your camera and start filming something in a public building? I don't think so. And so I think that's the thing we got to realize. What happened today shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't happen. And the way they handled it, it was very sleazy, for lack of a better word. They didn't take them out the front of the building because they didn't want everybody in the front of the building to see what was going on. They took them out in the back of the building. You know, that kind of thing. And the shoving and then the pushing. I say shame on Tad. Y'all in enough trouble over there. That should never have happened. Absolutely, that should never have happened where someone is arrested literally for, basically, and all I can see that you could have possibly been mad with was Manuel, you know, said some things maybe, but clearly you can't arrest a man and charge him with all of this because he ticked you off with something he said. That ain't the way law enforcement is supposed to be working. And it seemed like the energy today was different. It seemed like those guys came in with a mission. We're going to take you down. And so when they came into the room, it was absolutely no talking, no negotiating. It was all about you got to go and you got to go now. And that part, the energy was just totally renegade. It was totally like, yeah, it was on steroids. So here you have this building where people come and go all the time, taking care of their taxes. You know, you rarely see anything out of order. And then you see some backroom stuff happen like this. That was very disturbing. So whatever that was that caused that type of energy to enter that building and come against Manuel Mata the way that it did today, I don't understand because, again, I saw two men. But you only physically assault. And I saw you put your hands on Thomas. I did see that. But you kind of grabbed him under his arm and took him out of the building. But with Manuel, it was the shoving and the throwing to the ground. But you didn't throw Thomas to the ground. Now, was it because Thomas was white? I don't know. But you got two men, but you only shoved, threw to the ground, and arrested one man. The other man, you told him to leave the property, and you escorted him to the edge of the property. But with Manuel, you didn't do that. So I see a clear problem there. And again, this ain't about wanting Thomas to be arrested. It's about the fact that if one person were guilty, they both were guilty. Or not guilty of anything. And this was a retaliation type of thing. And so if that's the case, that's not how law enforcement is supposed to handle business. So tonight I say free Manuel Mata. And I say, y'all listen, if it's about protest, put your boots on. Because Manuel Mata ain't supposed to be in the Tarrant County Jail tonight facing all these charges. Period. And a justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that's across the board. And Dr. King said that over 50 years ago, almost 60 years ago. And it is just as true today as it was then. Whenever you allow this kind of thing to happen for nothing, where do you expect it to go from here? If just for filming in a public building, standing in a designated space, can get you shoved out of a building, thrown to the ground, and arrested, think about that. In the building, a public building, getting ready to film a public hearing in a designated area, and you are thrown out of the building through the back door, shoved to the ground, and arrested. Well, I say to Terran Appraisal District tonight, we saw the video. Now, unless you got a video to show something totally different, and this was Facebook Live, y'all. What the hell? I mean, it makes people fearful to go to your building now. Like, will I get assaulted like that because I came in your building? I recently went to TAD, y'all. I went there for my appraisal protest hearing. And, you know, Thomas Tolokazi was there with me. And, you know, initially you could tell they were very uncomfortable because when we went into the room, the lady looked at Thomas Tolokazi and says, "Why are you here?" And he said, I'm here to film." And so then she looked at me as though, like, you know, what do I do? And so then she starts asking the appraiser, "So, well, can he be here?" And the appraiser says, "Well, if she's okay with it, then he can stay." I said, "Well, I'm okay with it." But that you could tell it totally was a game changer. They were not comfortable. It was like moving someone off their square in the middle of the game. You're forcing them off of their square because I'm sure they have their pre-rehearsed, you know, bills for you, and then all of a sudden in comes Sterling Hazy. And so I won my hearing, and I got my property taxes reduced by $37,000. I'm not bragging, y'all, but I understood a lot more than they understood. I understood from previously being in the mortgage business, so I understood comps, you know, and things like that, and appraised values and things like that. So the language was not new to me. But that said, it makes me fearful now that if I go back next year, if I have to, you know, am I going to be fearful that I'm going to be thrown out of the back door and arrested if I choose to bring someone in that's filming for me? Like, what the hell? Y'all, listen, this was a game changer for me, and it should be a game changer for you because, you know, it almost seems like they're trying to suppress anybody who is bold enough to come in there with a camera and film something, you know. So, you know, where are we going with that? If you can't film in public buildings, if you can't, you know, write a story and tell the truth about a situation without being harassed by members of law enforcement, you can't do a podcast and tell the truth without ticking off downtown. Where are we going with this? You know, and then I did the show last week when the city supports bad cops. So then even when the cops are found to be guilty of it, the city then finds a way to still say, we don't have a problem with them. So, you know, to Fernando Costa, who I thought was a very intelligent man, I was shocked. I was shocked when he told me, hey, I don't care what you said about him. I got some community leaders who said he's a good guy. And I'm okay with what he did because I know Fernando Costa will end up with egg on his face. And I feel bad for him for that. I don't know if he just got thrown in the middle of the storm or he just, you know, I don't know, didn't have himself get out of the way. I don't know. But I'm okay with exactly what he did because I know that will come back on him. But we should have community leaders and city assistant managers who take up for bad cops. is that really where we're going? And so we will see, because we know that Thomas Tolenkaisi, Emmanuel Mata will file paperwork through IED and follow the whole process. But it's very taxing to keep having to file paperwork on officers for misbehaving when their job has a protocol that they're supposed to follow the minute they hit punch the clock. So why do you have to continue to put paper on people? Isn't that the sheriff's job and the police chief's job to make sure that their officers aren't misbehaving? Is it the citizen's responsibility to keep showing you that you got bad officers? Shouldn't that be part of the supervision of those officers to know that they're out in the field doing what they're not supposed to be doing? I'm just saying, y'all, something's got to give. Don't know when, don't know where, but something's got to give, because the tension in the city is growing. And if you have any type of discernment, you feel it. It's like a ticking time bomb. And at some point, it's going to bubble over. We know we're in a very red state. You know, so people are talking about potential civil wars and all of that. This would be a melting pot or something like that. I don't know. I really don't know. But tonight I have a heavy heart about what happened. I do. Because I know how harassment feels. And I know once you get on the radar, it's not a good thing. He should not feel that every time he enters a public building that he's going to be retaliated against, that they're going to call for reinforcement, and that the reinforcement is going to show up, you know, and assault you. That part. And so for that, I feel bad that Tad did that, because it just, I don't think it was necessary. So y'all listen, I just had to tell you that tonight. I won't do a two-hour show because I don't have a panel to bounce back and forth with tonight. But I just wanted you to know what's going on in our city, the things that we needed to be watching out for. Because if we allow it to happen to Manuel Mata and we don't say anything, tomorrow it may be you, your son, your daughter, your relative. And then you want someone to stand up for you. Emmanuel Mata is a strong man. Don't get me wrong. He's been through some tough times in his day. But at the same time, everybody needs some help sometime. No man is an island. And so I'm going to post on my page how to reach your Tarrant County judge, how to reach the commissioners, how to write them, how to call them on his behalf, how to reach out to the sheriff's department on his behalf. And I ask that you all do it. I, you know, just make one phone call to each one and just leave a message to Free Manuel Mata. That's simple, Free Manuel Mata. And I think it will be more effective than you can even imagine, that part. So, yeah, we do this each and every Friday night from typically 7 to 9 p.m., but tonight I started at 7:30. But we're back in regular rotation next week from 7 to 9 p.m. Each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Listen, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to check out the show. Also, we'd love for you to advertise right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. You can send me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. And I'd love to talk to you about rates. And whatever your budget is, we're willing to work with you. We'd love for you to also consider sponsoring the show. We need your support. It takes a lot to do this each and every week, trust me. And again, like I told y'all, you got to have a certain boldness, even if your knees are trembling, to do this each and every week, because we're reporting on topics that some people won't touch. I don't know if the mainstream media is going to pick up Mata got arrested today. But somebody needed to talk about it. Yeah, I don't know that his story will get picked up. I pray that it will be. But they may not. Let's talk about a lot of things that other media outlets don't talk about. and we talk to you unfiltered, unpaid off, straight from the heart. We bring these stories each and every Friday night again from 7 to 9 p.m. Also, I wanted to remind you all of something else, but it has slipped my mind. Again, if you have a business, a nonprofit, a church, a service, or any type of product that you would like to advertise right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Again, drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Listen, I want y'all to go out and finish enjoying the rest of your Friday, and I plan to do the same. And I will see you right back here next Friday in regular rotation from 7 to 9 p.m. Until then, good night.